Our catechism portion this evening, as we return to the Heidelberg Catechism series, we turn in our hymnals in the blue, our hymnals in the back, to the fifth commandment, which is Lord's Day 39, found on page 52, question and answer 104. Question is, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. And in connection with that, I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. The gospel is practical, and it's not just theory and idealism, it's practical. And so many of the general epistles not only deal with doctrine, right, usually in the first section of the letter, but they also deal with the application of it, how it is that we're to put those truths to effect. And that's the same in Ephesians. And so in chapter 6, he says, I mean, it starts earlier, of course, in the book in terms of application, but certainly it continues into chapter 6. And also, children are included. If there was ever proof, as it were, that that children are included in God's covenant, it is the fact that God speaks to children. He addresses them in particular in his word. And if they're not part of his covenant, why would he be addressing them? But he does. So in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what is that promise? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the importance of the subject before us this evening is brought to light by the fact that this command is the first in the second table of the law. So when God turns from our relationship with him, the first four commandments, and turns to the way that we relate on a horizontal level with one another, this is the first commandment that he starts with. This is the first subject that he takes up. And it is so because this is the most important of our relationships. This relationship is the one that lays the foundation for so many others. It's like any other discipline. When I teach a pre-algebra class, and you may be thinking, well, why do you teach pre-algebra in college? Well, we have to. Some don't come to college not prepared, and they haven't even got that far. And so we teach Math 12, pre-algebra. And so if I said to people, well, we teach adding and subtracting and dividing and multiplying and things like that, people are kind of, surprised. And sometimes I think students might be, kind of feel down about that, that here they're in college and they're learning these things that even they know they should have learned in earlier grades. And so usually I start the class this way, and I say to them, this is the most important math class you're gonna take. And they kind of look surprised when I say that. I say it is, because if you don't get this class, you're not going to get any other math class. You're not going to be able to build on anything else if you don't get this, right? So you have to kind of get your minds in gear. You have to realize this is important, and not say, well, it's just math 12, just pre-algebra, not going to make much effort. I say, no, you have to make effort. And I give them examples of the fact that when I teach higher classes like calculus, you would be surprised at how many people, jokingly, I say to them, that's Math 12. In other words, what you learned in Math 12, you're allowed to, go. And you have to go back and learn that. You have to learn fractions. Now that we're into calculus and equation, you still have to be able to do fractions with those expressions. And in a sense, that's what this is. When we talk about children obeying their parents, people might smile and say, cute babies and all the things that, parents have to do with them and the kind of things that they say. Let's not waste that time. Let's not think that that time is just treading water, that nothing really spiritual is being done, nothing really worthwhile is being done, nothing is really being established. They're just children. They just have to pass their time until they get older. Nothing could be further from the truth. And as I say, the fact that God makes this the first commandment in the second part of the law speaks to its importance and its foundational nature. In fact, it is so because all other relationships and authority relationships are based on that. And that's why our catechism question, when it answers it, it's not only obeying your parents, it obey all those that have authority over you. All legitimate authority structures that God has instituted in our society, we will never be able to learn how to act in those relationships unless we learn from the relationship that we have with our parents. If we don't obey them, we're not going to obey anyone. We're not going to obey teachers. We're not going to obey people at work when we grow up and go to work. We're not going to obey the police. We're not going to obey anyone. And you know as well as I do, that path is disastrous. Because you're going to get into all kinds of problems. And that's what we see all around us, a breakdown. That it trickles down to all levels of society. What a mess it creates. So how glad we are for the wisdom of God that He places us in these environments with loving parents. And especially, of course, it doesn't apply to non-believing parents, right? Because they're not going to pay attention to God's word. So believing parents that know the glories of the gospel, that He's put us under their authority. Imperfect as they are, they are nevertheless God's instruments for good for His people, for His children. And Proverbs, of course, is full of references to the burdens and the pain that disobedient children bring to their parents. It's a heartache that parents have to contend with when they have issues in terms of their children. But on the other hand, when we raise them to follow wisdom and they obey and embrace the scriptures, then it is a blessing. It's a crown of glory for parents to see their children love the Lord. Those that set aside this injunction of obedience and think it's cool that we stand up against parents, show our other friends how strong we are, that we don't obey them. The Bible calls it foolishness. And so as a church, we turn our attention to the wisdom and the word of God as it commands us, children that is, to be obedient to parents, and parents to see the importance of that time the children are in their presence under their authority. And as I say, not waste that time, not to think that that time is not productive and there's nothing of importance that's going to happen. We just have to take care of their needs and somewhere down the road they're going to grow up and they're going to do something. But for now, nothing is being done. That's the terrible, terrible mistake. Very important things are done in their childhood years. And even the world, of course, understands that. They understand that children, that they're developing, and it's important that we do right things. Of course, they don't have the wisdom of God, but even in their blindness, they can see it's not a waste of time. Families are not a waste of time. Child is not a waste of time. So children, obey your parents. Why? Well, in the first place, because God commands you to do so. The Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that created you and put you in that situation, He's the one that's commanding you to obey your parents. I mean, parents may tell you to be obedient, yes, but they get their authority from God Himself. That's what they are echoing, that God has given them a responsibility over you. And if you're to be blessed by God's purposes, then the only way to that blessing is obedience. And so He commands us then through His word. And as I mentioned earlier, God addresses children. He doesn't just address adults, and if you children get anything out of it, well, that's a bonus. No, He addresses you in particular. You are part and parcel of the covenant of God. God made a covenant with Abraham to be a God to you and to your descendants after you. He has His eye not only on adults, He has His eye on children. Even as the Apostle Paul says about Timothy, he says, you've known the scriptures from childhood. Well, how? Because his grandmother and mother were faithful in teaching him and preparing him. And how important is that? Well, Paul says that you were taught the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And so what a blessing to be raised in a covenant family. And what a blessing to be not just ignored, as children are in certain cultures, but to be seen as covenant members, seen as belonging to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saying they're Christians just by virtue of being in the covenant. We say that and often enough to make sure there's no misunderstanding. But they are members of the church, baptized members of the church. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesian church, can you imagine this letter is being read to the church? And it comes from Paul, and they're reading it, and all of a sudden they children. And now all the children, you know, perk up in their ears. Me? He's talking to me? Yes. God's word addresses you. And it is addressed also in the Old Testament in terms of Deuteronomy 5:16 and of course Exodus 20. And parents are told to speak to their children, to impart these truths, to walk with them, to talk with them, to convey to them these precious blessings that God has given to us in terms of His word. God well knows before you raise your hands and say, but my parents, they're this and that, they're not perfect. Well, the Bible isn't blind. The Bible knows your parents are not perfect. None of us are. None of us claims to be, and the Bible doesn't claim to be. The Bible doesn't say, obey your parents because they're perfect. It doesn't say that. We don't get that from looking in the scriptures at various people and well-known people in terms of the church. No, they weren't perfect. But nevertheless, God calls us to be obedient to them. How carefully and seriously then we need to take this command that God in His infinite wisdom has imparted to us. But also He commands us by His warning. The importance of this command is emphasized not only with a promise, but with a warning. I mean, we warn people because what we're telling them is so important, and they're breaking that and ignoring that has such an effect on their life that we want them to think long and hard Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. There's a warning. Well, God gives a warning here too. That if you don't keep this command, then the opposite of the promise will happen. The promise is that you may, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. What's the opposite? It will not be well with you, and you will not live long on the earth in the covenant. And in the Old Testament, of course, that was made very clear in terms of the examples, because disobedient children and youth, if they got so bad that they would not obey their parents and they became stubborn, ultimately they were taken to the elders and they were stoned outside the camp. You think it's not that important? Well, God's word certainly places this warning on children. Adam and Eve, as I said, were given such a warning to emphasize the importance of the command that God was giving them. And so God gives this too to children. It's important. I mean, we as parents say that about school, you know. Work hard at school because it's going to affect the rest of your life. It's going to have such a mighty impact, of course. Some listen, some don't. But God does that too. It's going to have devastating consequences if you ignore what I'm saying. No, we don't want to be punished by God. We want His blessings. We want to live at peace with Him. Well, that way is obedience to your parents, just as He was obedient to His parents. I mean, if parents have to be more educated than their children, then at some point we would say, well, you know, Mom and Dad, it's your turn to listen to us because we are a lot more educated than you are. Well, Joseph and Mary were never more in terms of knowledge than the Lord Jesus Christ. But He obeyed them. He learned to obey them. And He grew in stature before God and before men. But in the second place, we are to obey our parents because of who they are. They are our parents. They are the ones that have given us birth. Yes, of course, children are a heritage from the Lord. But it's through them. They are the means. They are the channels by which you come into this world. They have a responsibility. They have given so much for you. Everything that they have is yours. They don't keep it from us. If we can obey them, who can we obey? If we can obey those that care for us and are up with us night and day, whenever we have trouble, they're there. They feed us, they take care of us, and we don't even get to adulthood very quickly. It takes 18 or 19 odd years, and now that time is going even further, right? But they don't say, well, you know, 12 years, that's enough, now leave. I mean, in a sense, we might leave home, but we never leave their hearts. I mean, such commitment, lifelong commitment. Surely it should make sense to us that we are to obey them. It shouldn't be an obstacle. It shouldn't be something that we wrestle with and struggle with. And as I said earlier, they're our first leaders. They're the gentlest of leaders. They're the most committed of leaders that you will ever find in your life. So if you can obey them, then surely that shows a stubborn streak in you that's going to cause you problems throughout your life. You're not going to obey anyone. What have you done for me that I should obey you? Why should I obey your authority? That's the attitude we're going to have, because we're used to it. as we treated our parents. Now, God has wonderfully provided for us an arena in which we can be lovingly taught, patiently taught. You remember Peter was saying, oh, yeah, you know, this forgiveness, you know, issue, you know, seven. How about seven times? Is that enough? And Jesus said, no, not seven, not 70 times seven. All I'm saying is the parents know that. Parents don't struggle with that. Parents never say, oh, we're going to forgive our child for doing something wrong seven times. After that, that's it. They're going to get it. No, the parents are long-suffering, patient, year after year after year after year. And you will be surprised at the kind of things that children get up to and youth get up to and the commitment that parents have continually after they've been let down. And the parents still. And even non-Christian parents, by the way. I mean, that's how basic that love and commitment is. And I've heard it, and I've talked with people, you know, where their children are drug addicts, and they've helped them, and they've got them rehab, and then they fall back into it. I mean, it's a struggle. And yet their love never goes down. And I've had it because I've filled in for teachers that have, at a drop of a hat, you know, gone off down to L.A. to pick up their son that's been kicked out of rehab. And you think they'd want nothing to do with them after that, but no. And then having children out of wedlock, they still haven't given up. That's the kind of parents and family structure that God puts us in as children, so that we might be gently taught, lovingly taught, safely taught. And so if in that environment we're going to kick and scream and rebel, then there is no environment in which you're going to be obedient. Every environment you're going to turn into a conflict, because your attitude will be, it's my way or no way. And I don't care who's standing in front of me, whether it's the police, whether it's my parents, whether it's my friends, whether it's my employer, I don't care, because I never cared for my parents' authority. And so God has wonderfully blessed us by putting us in Christian households where we are loved and where we are taught the scriptures. They, as I said, they are not only our first leaders, they are loving leaders. And we could go through all the things that parents do that youth would never do. I mean, you say to some youth, oh, can you change their diaper? Are you kidding? They're not going to touch that with a barge pole. But parents do. Parents don't think they're heroes when they do that. They do it out of love. And as I say, all the sleepless nights and the struggles that they have, they do it without cost to you. When you leave at, I don't know, 18, 19, 20, has anyone ever given you a bill? They say, well, like checking out the hotel. Well, here's your bill. No one does. No parents do that. Even unbelieving parents don't. Because it's all freely given. This is why God is so angered when children and youth do not obey their parents, and worse still, attack their parents. And that's why in the Old Testament, if you attacked your parents, then you would be stoned to death. Because you're not safe. Society is not safe with you. Because you don't respect your parents. If you're going to attack your parents, who are you not going to attack when the need arises? Absolutely no one. But as we mentioned earlier, they are imperfect leaders. God teaches us to obey our parents in everything. Not only in things that you agree with them. I mean, that's like people's attitude towards the Bible. That I that they believe the Bible when they agree with it. Well, that's not believing the Bible. No, you believe the Bible in everything that it says, whether you understand it or you don't understand it. It's God's word. That's what we have to understand. But so many people take it, well, I agree with this because, well, I believe this because I agree with that. But that, no, I can't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible at all. You just believe what you want to believe. No, they are imperfect leaders. This is not to give a blanket coverage for parents to abuse their children. We're not saying that. We're not saying they're your parents, whatever they do is fine. No, the Bible isn't saying that. After all, even in this passage, it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Well, why would it say that if there weren't occasions where parents did do that? So the Bible understands that they're not perfect. But when they follow God's word, then they will be a blessing to children. And so we have to rely on God's word as it guides our parents to love children and to lead them and to guide them according to God's word. And so don't complain. A lot of times that's what children do. Parents tell them to do this and they bring umpteen different arguments as to why that isn't good and they shouldn't be expected to do that because parents down the road don't tell their children to do that. They don't have to be in by 10 or 9 or whatever it is. And we compare and we try and divide and conquer. It's a foolish exercise. A foolish exercise. And we're to be obedient to them, knowing that they are indeed imperfect. But as long as they don't abuse us, as long as they don't tell us to do things that are contrary to God's word, we should give them the benefit of the doubt. And we should be obedient and loving to them and grateful for all that they do. And finally, the command is to be obeyed because it is for your good. It is for your good. Parents, I mean, it is true sometimes parents can use their children to kind of bolster their own image. But generally, parents are concerned for the well-being of their children. They want them to do well. They want them to be good Christians. They want them to be good citizens. They want them to be well-educated, have a good job and a comfortable life. They care about you, not about themselves. They're not in competition with you. And God has given us this command that it may go well with you. That's God's intention, that it may go well with you. And so God warns us, as I said, to avoid God's penalty. God has given this command so that you do not get into trouble with your parents or the police or at work or anywhere else. And as I said, in the covenant environment, the youth could be put to death if they cursed or struck their parents. If they cursed or struck their parents, then they were to be taken to the elders. And if that was proven to be correct, then that stubborn child, or youth, I would imagine, would be stoned to death. I mean, that sounds barbaric, doesn't it, to you? I mean, that's the way the world would look at it. Absolutely barbaric. But here is God's way of impressing upon us. As you know, the Old Testament is very down to earth, very concrete in terms of it imparting God's truth. And there it was, that concrete way of God impressing upon his covenant people the importance of the family and the importance of children being obedient. That when they weren't, and these hardened and stubborn young people that would strike their parents, there they were, taken outside of the camp and put to death. They didn't spend long in God's covenant kingdom. That's what God is saying. That you will face those severe consequences when you do not obey your parents. And if we take that, of course, into the spiritual realm, If we learn not to be obedient to parents, and we couldn't care less, and we don't pay them any attention or respect, do you think we're going to have respect for God when we learn about Him and the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who gives us everything freely day by day in life itself? How is that not corresponding to what we had in the family? And if then we strike at them, that's what we're going to do spiritually. We're going to strike out at God. We're going to ignore all that He says. And there's a worst punishment to come. A worst punishment to come that God wants us to avoid. And that is to be banished from His eternal kingdom into that place of death and darkness. Make no bones about it. God doesn't want us there. And He warns us to be obedient and to learn, and rather to receive God's blessing. One way that God blessed His people was by bringing them into the land flowing with milk and honey, Canaan. It symbolized God's favor and salvation. And we see this geographic symbolism also in the Garden of Eden, from which our first parents were ejected because of rebellion, put out of them, out of the garden. And the Israelites were put out of Canaan when they were disobedient. And the children are being warned that if we are to experience the blessings of living under God's, in God's kingdom, under His care, and the only way to that is to submit ourselves to Him, is to obey Him. And you know the Israelites could not go into the promised land right at the beginning because they were disobedient. They wouldn't trust God. And so He made them go 40 years around in the wilderness before He brought them back, so they would learn to trust Him. Not only when they could see things were going to work out, but even when they couldn't see how things were going to work out for well. So even though they had these challenges under Joshua, they went forth the second time obeying God. And as I say, it prepares us for salvation. Jesus pointed out the faith of the centurion, who not only knew how to give orders, but also take orders. He knew how to do that. And when Jesus was going to go to his home, He said, no, you don't have to come to my home. Just say the word. Just say the word. I believe you. I obey you. Just say the word. And Jesus was amazed at his faith. Amazed at his faith. That through the normal channels of life, he'd learned to be obedient to those that were in authority. If we listen to God, if we commit our ways to Him, then He has good purposes for us. And that begins in childhood. Even as Paul says, you've learned the scriptures from childhood, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. I mean, is there any higher recommendation for us to embrace God's truth from childhood other than this word, that it's able to make you wise unto salvation? Never belittle the things that you learn at home from your parents. Never belittle the things that you're taught in church in terms of Sunday school. If you learn them line by line, and you embrace them with all of your heart. Faith doesn't always come, you know, in a moment. Like, from now you didn't have faith, now you have faith. It happens all in a very short space of time. For some people, yes. But for others, it happens gradually. Gradually. And so when you in covenant household learn the scriptures slowly, step by step, it is God working in you. And ultimately, you will receive that blessing of God, because it will make you wise unto salvation. And you will love Him. And you will learn to walk with Him in obedience, because you learned it at home. And even when you can't understand what's going on, you trust him because he is your heavenly Father. And your parents were used by him to help us to see his relationship with you. Now, children, obey your parents, and you will indeed be blessed, not only in this life, but for eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you for the way that you have created this world. Beautiful it is to our eyes, but also how you have ordered humanity in terms of the institutions of marriage, of family, of government, and how blessed we are when we embrace those structures and we honor them according to your word. But our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed strengthen our families. And we pray that you would give wisdom to our children and wisdom to parents, that they love their children, that they don't provoke them to anger, but rather they gently lead as our good shepherd did. And Lord, that we might be taught the scriptures and that they might indeed make us wise unto salvation. Hear our prayers. Bless us in this week, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 450.